I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Oh, we are an hour away from Richard Doc Walker, the DOC. The DOC. He's coming up with Burgundy and Gold today. I asked him during the top of the hour, AMAC, much to your chagrin, if he could join us at 3:08 to talk about the Brooklyn Nets.
The Brooklyn Nets.
Because Doc is convinced that I'm only happy, apparently, he told you guys, that I'm only happy talking basketball when we're talking about the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets.
Wow, are we adding that to your collection of teams New that Jersey you root Devils. For?
Oh, the New Jersey Devils, too?
Yeah. Wow.
New York
I was at
Islanders.
The Cat. I was, well, you might be onto something there.
Yeah, Islanders.
I was on the glass last night with Grant Paulson.
Well, what's new?
At Capital One Arena.
That's the only place Grant hangs out.
Yeah, I know.
Grant doesn't know that there's actually seats behind the glass, other than behind the glass.
Well, right behind the glass.
Right behind
you're
the glass.
Right. Yeah. You're right. You know who was immediately to our left? Like the next, same row on the glass, but just separated by the steps.
Finley?
Nope.
Mitchell?
Nope. One more guess.
Sheehan?
No. Sheehan would never be caught dead.
Yeah, I was
he
about
would
to say.
Never be caught dead in a regular season hockey game.
You got me. That's all the big shots.
He was too busy doing the podcast.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah.
I sat next to and we high fived.
Athan.
Not Athan.
Okay.
We only had one ticket for me. I'm not going to give away a glass ticket. If I could go, I would.
A glass ticket.
Right.
He got money, man.
No, I didn't pay for it.
I know, but like that's what I'm saying. You have access to like important people.
To every pro and collegiate program between here and New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got no access. I've got a couple of little hooks. That's what I've got. This isn't the Junkies. This isn't DOC. We're gonna snap your finger, show up with a cool alumni jacket. Away you go, and just show my Super Bowl ring. It doesn't work that way for the Rooster. You got to work hard for everything that you get for free.
But you are right. You do have to work hard to get things for free.
I sat next to Mrs. Ovechkin.
Mrs. Ape.
Her dad.
Okay.
And was very happy to see young Sergey
you had the ice. You had a Koken moment. That's the space Koken lives in.
Yeah. I mean, they keep Koken away from us because he's on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point.
Yeah.
So can you break down the Brooklyn Nets for me? Because I figured if there was a four-down expert.
You know one reason why I'm so up to date on current affairs?
Yeah, please.
Is that I only follow interesting topics. I don't follow things nobody's going to ask about or cares about.
Right.
I only follow the hits.
So you don't think anybody cares about the Brooklyn Nets?
Not at all.
The beloved Brooklyn
Nets.
Not here.
Not here.
The beloved Brooklyn Nets.
No.
Let me just make that clear.
No.
Apparently, AMAC thinks the only way you can be a fan of a team is if you have a coffee mug of a team. So he is convinced that I'm a Jets fan, a Giants fan, a Bills fan, and an Eagles fan because I have coffee mugs.
Yeah, but we know that. But that's not new news.
But
and
I don't have
not,
a coffee mug
wrong with
of
you.
The Giants.
You always take it like you're offended, and it's not meant to be offensive.
Right.
It's where you grew up. That's the people you followed. Like all of us have teams we followed.
Yeah.
And then as a professional now, you have been tied to and noted to be a part of the New York teams at a very high level.
Mm-hmm. Am I a part of the Washington fabric in your eyes or no?
Yeah, yeah. As a working stiff, yes, you are. But it's not something you would do if you had a free day off.
Right. I mean, I don't have pom-pom surgically attached to my wrist.
No,
right?
No. You're not like that big kid, that BTP
Who?
Kid. The kid, Who? I don't know his name. He's screams and hollers a lot.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. He says he's the biggest fan. I don't know.
He said last night as I was driving home from the Caps game when his show came on at 11 o'clock last night on 106.7. That he was torn, that he had his fan hat and his Gilbert Arenas jersey on. And then the next minute he had his analyst hat on. He was torn on the Wizards-Hawks trade. What do you think about the because what are the rules these days now that it's not Commander's season anymore?
Well, in 30 years.
Are you allowed to talk about the NBA on the show that you're about to host or no?
No one has ever told me that I couldn't
say
anything that I thought
was
relevant.
So you might talk about the Trae Young trade.
Was relevant. Oh, yeah, because he's the first guy in my lifetime to mention that he wanted to be here.
Yeah. How do I not discuss that? Kevin Durant has rejected the Wizards in Washington, D.C. 7,000 times
to
Sunday. Trae Young wanted to be. Now, of course,
well, he may
you
got to
question
no
the motives.
Matter. It doesn't
you
matter.
You got to question the motives.
I mean, Westbrook, what I still haven't gotten
Bradley
over the
Bradley Beal wanted to be here, but he wanted to get paid.
Yeah, but for what reasons? You had Westbrook, and that's when I knew then they were Cocoa Pops. That dude was perfect for the Wizards. Plays hard, hustles, gives you everything, and wanted to be, and didn't mind. He was all in.
Yeah, but then after that 1 year, he did want to go home. So that's why they traded him. They didn't trade him because they didn't want him.
Well, what they want and what you need, I thought it was what you need is number one priority.
Well, that's
because
that's fair.
He didn't know what was good for him. L.A. wasn't good for him. He's not a Laker.
No.
And so I could have told him that.
Yeah.
That was not going to work. But nevertheless, so we on tonight. Do you have a national gig tonight? Are you?
No.
News?
No.
Now? No.
You know, D.C. News Now DC, at 11 o'clock.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Going to do that.
Well, you're looking at me like, how did I know? I follow him.
Well, here's the thing, Doc. You know what I'm going to do? I've got a weekend business, stay-at-home business trip here in D.C., so I'm going to be busy this weekend dealing with stuff for Phi Sigma Kappa.
Okay, good.
Which, mini convention, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But tonight I have to do all my studying. I have to do my laundry, right? Which I'm in the process of doing.
What's her name? Maria. She's off. Meredith. I thought you said it was
Meredith.
Was it Meredith or Maria? I heard him talking to her on the phone about she had the Downy or was something to do with a fabric softener that she thought she was trying to do the right thing.
Look at Doc trying to.
And he was. And he was irate. I've never really heard him angry, but he was peed. And I thought, oh my God. And she was just trying to help. But, you know, anyway, let me get out of your personal business.
It was Uniqua.
Oh, Uniqua.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, real quickly. So, you got Miami and you've got Ole Miss tonight.
Big one.
The Wizards are off. Big the Caps one. Are off, right? So you got no Thursday night
Caps,
NFL. You just
Caps.
Got that. Oh, yeah. Bad. You just got that, right? And I'll be studying how to do a Friday talk show. Figure it out. I'll be learning by rewinding on all of your hours this week just so I can learn from the master, just so I can figure out how to put together a radio show for tomorrow.
Well, you got to give Anthony Haney a lot of credit.
Do I have to?
Yeah, you do.
I don't know if I want to.
Well, if you want to know
where
why.
Where is young Anthony Haney?
Oh, he's in the laboratory down there. He's grinding.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Okay. It takes 4 hours to prep.
So what's coming up on the big show today?
Well, we're just following your lead. I'm smart enough to know this. Wherever you leave me, I take off from there. That's my launch point.
Mm-hmm.
And you always leave me in a good position. So Thank you for that.
Thanks for coming in and breaking down the Brooklyn Nets.
My pleasure. For the two or three people that would ever care.
Two or three people might be a stretch. Might be a stretch. That's the DOC. He's coming up at 4 o'clock. Mike McDaniel fired as head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Could he be the next offensive coordinator? Listen, he's going to get interviews for head coaching jobs. He's going to get interviews for head coaching jobs before he says, you know what? I'll come and join DQ and be the offensive coordinator. I don't think it's, I'm going right, unless he's so tired of answering questions and he wants no part of it and only has to speak once a week. That's it. That's it. Otherwise, going to have to wait. And, oh, by the way, that's totally fine. You don't need to make this decision tomorrow. There's no games until August, right? There's no real practices until late July. So you can wait. All right, let's get to Mark and Chevy Chase, and then we'll take the timeout for all things AMAC. What's up, Mark? Sorry for leaving you on hold there. I kind of forgot that you were there. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I'd like to say I think the excitement's back here a little bit for the Wizards, getting Ice Trey, as he was known in Oklahoma, when he played for the Sooners.
Ice Trey. So that goes that goes back to Oklahoma and not Atlanta.
Yeah, I believe so.
I don't remember that, but I don't pay much attention to nicknames.
I just remember he was very good at Oklahoma, and then he was very good his first few seasons with the Hawks. Yes, not the Falcons, the Hawks.
Yes,
and
he definitely was not a member of the Falcons.
Yes, I have a quick story.
Yes.
And it involves your show.
Okay.
Last night, after I heard the news, I went to Tick Pick, and I picked up tickets for the Wizards versus the Trailblazers, I think January 27th. And then I'm driving around somewhat happy with my purchase today, and I turn on your show, and I find out he might not be playing.
I don't know that definitively, but right. that was my first inkling last night. And since then, I've heard others mention it because they're desperately mm-hmm. trying to straddle this line of being competitive, showing progress, right. but also trying to stay alive with the lottery implications.
Do you want a ticket?
Do I want a ticket?
Yes.
Oh, to go with you, you mean?
Yeah, free ticket offer.
Wow.
There you go.
That's nice of you.
We'll talk about it later. They were not very expensive seats. I'll have
okay.
to warn you.
I've got to check my schedule, but let's stay in touch, okay?
Okay, good.
I appreciate that. That's very nice of you. That's very nice of you. Thank you. I appreciate it, Mark. Thank you. That's very nice. I mean, I don't know if he's going to play or not. My sense is he's not going to play a lot, if at all.
Mm.
So I hope, I mean, I'd love to see him in uniform tomorrow night, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going
to
happen.
This is for the 27th against the Trailblazers.
Right, right.
And I'm not up on the league, so I have no idea how good or bad the Trailblazers are this year.
I got you. I appreciate you. I think the Blazers, I mean, I can't say I've spent a lot of time watching them. I think they're fairly okay this year. I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Got to take a timeout. All things AMAC coming up after we spent a little time with our guy Mark and Chevy Chase, who offered me a Wizards ticket, and the good doctor who broke down the Brooklyn Nets. Somehow we go from that to this. AWOD? No, we have too many
we're
A's
tight.
Around here.
We're real
AMAC,
tight.
AMAC, AWOD, all things AMAC.
We're homies. We are so tight.
You and me?
Yeah.
Are we?
I mean, you just messed up my name. That's the joke.
I got you confused with AWOD.
I'm just joking.
Come on. is easy to confuse the two of you.
Well,
You don't think so?
Many reasons I would disagree with you, but
that was the whole point. That was the whole point. You should be able to tell my sarcasm by now. All things AMAC, not the AWOD Army. Although I love the AWOD Army. All things AMAC coming up next.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tonight, State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. It is the Fiesta Bowl. That's right. The Fiesta Bowl used to mean very little. Tonight, it means a lot. It means who is going to represent 50% of the national championship game. Will it be the Miami Hurricanes, the 10th ranked or seeded Miami Hurricanes, off of two playoff wins against Weehaw State and Texas A&M, both. Well, one was on the road, one was neutral site, but you get the point. Or is it going to be the Ole Miss Rebels and Trinidad Chambliss, the sixth seed? For those answers and more, we check in with our guy, AMAC. All things AMAC, not all things AWOD. All things AMAC.
Yes, not to be confused.
How are you, my friend?
It's always good to talk to you, Rooster. Yes. Especially, we got five straight days of playoff football.
Yes.
I'm like super excited. I think I'm going to be regretting it when I get up early.
I think you're going to be regretting it too.
Early in the morning. Mm-hmm. But when I'm locked in front of that TV at night, I think it's going to be very exciting. We have four great teams facing off in the college football playoffs, and I'm excited to kick off the action tonight.
I mean, hopefully you can be in asleep by like 11:15, maybe?
Yeah, 11:15. I think if I'm eyes closed, knocked out by 12, I think I can be functional tomorrow.
That alarm clock goes off at 5 a.m.?
5
right?
a.m.
Oof, that is tough. Sorry about them apples.
We're all good. It's for the love of football.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We're not complaining.
Absolutely. Nobody should be sentenced to five straight days of football, by the way. I mean, let's give everybody a chance to have a life. Let's give everybody a chance to have a life.
I don't know. I'm enjoying this. This is I really can't complain, man.
I am looking forward to this game.
Yeah.
Miami, as you know, I wore a Miami leather jacket in to the studio last week to troll everybody. You know that I'm a lifelong Miami Hurricanes fan.
Of course.
And they take on Ole Miss and everything that they've been through. I'm curious how you feel, because I feel like, I mean, the easiest thing to say is Reuben Bain and Mesidor are going to dominate this game at the line of scrimmage. And I do believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe Miami is more than that. Obviously, they can run the football. Their secondary benefits from a ferocious defensive line. Does Ole Miss have enough weapons if they not play perfect, if they don't play, if they play above average to good and not great tonight?
Yeah, I see. That's the thing. Everyone talks about Reuben Bain and Akeem Mesidor, and I've sung their praises, you know, waxed their praises throughout the whole year. I mean, this is one of the best defenses in college football, let alone left in this college football playoff. But the thing is, if you look at numerous points throughout the season, including last week against Georgia, Trinidad Chambliss was under pressure. Like, it just doesn't faze him. And I'm not saying he's as talented as this next name I'm going to say, But at points last week, it looked very Patrick Mahomes-esque. Mm. So I think the bigger question is not can Miami get to Trinidad Chambliss? I don't know if that necessarily matters because of he can make plays off platform, off schedule. My thing is when Miami gets the ball, can they control the game? Can they run the ball with Fletcher Jr. like they did last week against Ohio State? Miami wants to keep this a slower, drawn-out game because I think that's where their defense is more effective. If their defense is on the field, they get tired, they allow Trinidad Chambliss to make plays, I think that's where Ole Miss is at advantage. Miami wants to be able to possess the ball, keep it out of third and long in Carson Beck's hands because of the mistakes that he's made in the past and how that cost them. And I think that's where Miami is best.
Ole Miss is not the best run defense in the world, right?
Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss defense as a whole isn't the best, but I think that they still have playmakers and they still have talent on that defense. It's definitely a team that's led by their explosive offense, but, you know, I wouldn't count Ole Miss defense out.
All right, so ultimately, I think Miami's going to win. Now, maybe I'm falling a little bit too head over heels with what I've seen in the two games because, again, it's not like they've been explosive offensively. To your point, if they get in a shootout, that's probably a bad sign for Miami, right? Because I don't know if they have enough horses to make that work. But if they get into a, you know, it's 13-3 turn of the fourth quarter, I think, and they're leading, I think they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the kind of game they want to play.
Yeah, that's 100% the type of game Miami wants to play. Let's just see if they can do that because I think, again, there's been multiple times where teams have tried to do that against Ole Miss and Trinidad Chambliss, and this offense have, you know, just exploded on the team. Now there is an injury to the running back, Kiwan Lacy. He got banged up. He was dealing with a shoulder coming into last week's game against Georgia. Was banged up. Apparently there were videos and photos of him in a arm sling. He said he's going to be good to go, but that is something to monitor as he is a big part of that offense. But if he's playing and Trinidad Chambliss is healthy, I think that this is an explosive Ole Miss offense, and I can't wait to see them go up against this talented Miami defense.
All right. Before we run completely out of time, I mentioned your guy, the Oregon quarterback, Dante Moore, who you know, a lot of people believe, whether they're right or wrong, will be the number one overall pick ahead of Fernando Mendoza. He gets an opportunity on the big stage to send a very loud message, one that Oregon wasn't able to send earlier this year in Eugene when Indiana blew them out. Is there any reason to think that Oregon will be better in this game than they were in the regular season against Indiana?
It's hard for me to say so. I think Dante Moore, even last week, he had a big interception that against Texas Tech. And it wasn't even a terrific play by the defense. It was kind of a, why are you throwing it there? It was like tossed up to a linebacker there last week. And this is coming off a JMU game where he threw two interceptions. And they are also maybe without one of their star running backs, Jordan Davison, and two other running backs have entered the portal. So they're three short running backs. They're two running backs short, maybe a third because of injury, because of the portal, and the other two because of the portal. So it's hard for me to see a situation, especially with the way Indiana has played so far this year. It's hard for me to see Oregon overcoming this staunch Indiana defense and then Indiana's offense, you know, just moving down the field. And Fernando Mendoza doesn't really make mistakes. So I'm going to give edge to Indiana. There's only a hesitation because of my respect for Dan Lanning and him as a coach.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the way I see it. I don't think Indiana is going to be as dominant as tomorrow night as they were during the regular season in Eugene, because I think it's really hard to be dominant in a rematch against a really good team.
Yeah.
Right? But I do think Indiana just has a little bit extra in all phases and what you mentioned against Oregon. So I'm with you. I think Indiana wins. The Kurt Cignetti factor. He said today, he said, I'm happy some of the time. He is such a polarizing figure because he's new, he's fresh. Everybody kind of loves what he's done at Indiana. You're a big coaching guy. How big of a factor is that over your guy, Dan Lanning? Not to say that Lanning's not a good head coach. He is, and he's an animal.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is it a significant edge or is it a slight edge?
I wouldn't say it's an edge either way. I think that they're two different type of coaches. Dan Lanning seems like he's super prepared for, like, analytical data type of performance. When I think of Dan Lanning, I always go back to last year against Ohio State where they got a penalty for 12 men on the field to run off time for Ohio State and end up winning that game. Dan Lanning just seems like a super prepared, analytical guy, defensive coordinator from Georgia. So I feel like he's prepared in that sense and maybe more of a play caller sense than he's not a play caller. But I feel like he's very involved in the play calling at Oregon, whereas – Kirk Cignetti is like the CEO type of guy. And on top of that, and a good motivator is going to ride out his players and also make sure that they're paying attention to the small nuanced details to, in order to get the win. They're two great coaches. If I did have to pick one, I would probably give an edge to Kirk Cignetti just because of where Indiana is with year two of him coming from the most losingest program in NCAA history. To now being able to get to a national championship, I think that can't go unnoticed for Kirk Cignetti, so I would give him the edge. But Dan Lanning certainly isn't a slouch or second fiddle to anyone.
I agree. Real quickly, to answer the question that I had about Ole Miss run defense, they're ranked 65th in run defense, 488 attempts, 2,045 yards allowed, 4.19 per run, 146.1 rushing yards per game allowed. So that's not great against that Miami physical grinded out run attack.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at, again, that the game that we were just talking about between Indiana and Oregon, right? Indiana, number two in the country. And really, they're number one because Texas Tech was eliminated. But just, again, now, sometimes it's because they have a big lead. Only 1,032 rush yards allowed, 2.82 per carry, 73.7 a game. And if you look at Oregon in terms of run defense, I had it here and then I lost it. Oregon here is 19th, allowing 3.31 per carry and 110.8. If Indiana can run the ball for around what Oregon gives up, and if Oregon can't be better than, say, 75 yards on the ground, I don't think Oregon has a chance.
Yeah,
right?
And that highlights back to Oregon's lack of running backs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, you don't want to put anything just purely on statistics, but you also can't lie. You got to kind of look at what these two teams have been about. So I'm going with Miami and Indiana. You're going with Indiana, it sounds like.
Yeah, Indiana, and I'm going to slightly lean towards Ole Miss.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. That's all things. How are the Giants doing this week?
Just crossing our fingers, waiting for a coach, I guess.
Who do you want to be the coach?
We talked about this a little bit yesterday. But
it looks like that. I mean, Harbaugh might be on his way to Miami.
I just want to win games, man. I think I prefer a play caller, someone who can who can call plays. But
how about Mike McDaniel?
No. No. No, no.
No, thanks.
No, thank you. I love him as an OC, though, if things don't work out for his head coaching search.
Okay. All right. That is my guy. Not AWOD, all things AMAC, right here on the Team 980, the Odyssey app. What are we doing here? Are we doing, let's do the trending alert. Okay, I just want to make sure before I just automatically assumed. Let's do it right here on the Team 980. All right, as we mentioned, the college football playoff semifinal, the Fiesta Bowl in Glendale, Arizona. The 10th seed were ranked Miami Hurricanes, who beat Texas A&M on the road, beat the defending national champion Ohio State Buckeyes a little over a week ago. They take on the Ole Miss Rebels. And Pete Golding, of course, replaced Lane Kiffin. Charlie Weiss Jr. back at the helm on offense. Trinidad Chambliss, as we were just talking about, Miami favored by 3. 7:30, the scheduled kickoff for Miami and Ole Miss. And as we mentioned, Oregon and Indiana in the other semifinal tomorrow night to determine who will play for the national championship. Meanwhile, from the NFL, as we've been mentioning, the Miami Dolphins fired Mike McDaniel. They're expected to hire a general manager soon. McDaniel wasn't thought to be in pretty good shape, but Stephen Ross decided otherwise in an announcement this morning. The Washington Commanders continuing to make news, and not the good kind. Today we found out Marshawn Lattimore, who of course ended the season on IR with a torn ACL and has pretty much been a bust since his trade acquisition a year and a half ago, was arrested on some gun charges, weapon charges, in Ohio last night. Police saying that he was booked into jail, later released. The situation remains under investigation. Basically, a possible charge of carrying a concealed weapon and also one other element to that. Again, Lattimore, 29 years old, scheduled to make about $18 million this year. None of it guaranteed. Tore his ACL on November the 3rd. And that is what's trending.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I was just talking to Anthony Haney and Richard Doc Walker. They're coming up at 4 o'clock right here on the Team 980. Burgundy and gold today and a little bit more. We were just talking about the Trae Young trade. And Haney asked me on a scale of 1 to 10 what I thought about it from a Wizards perspective. And I said, you know, I hadn't talked about that on the show, so I'll bring that up. I say 6. You know, I'm not like, wow, this is the best thing in the world. But I'm definitely more positive about it than negative. I'll tell you that much. All right. Couple of minutes on this. So right after the trending alert, I saw this story, so I didn't get it in. We mentioned this quarterback yesterday out of Washington, not D.C., the University of Washington. Damon Williams, who signed a contract to return to Washington, was allegedly paid about $4.5 million for the upcoming year on the contract. And then on Monday night announced that he was entering the transfer portal, saying he's got to look out for his family. Now, there was all sorts of rumors. I don't know if it's any of it has been confirmed that Lane Kiffin and LSU were going to bring him in for like $5.5-6 million. Even though they were hosting other quarterbacks as well. So today, after all the outrage and Washington digging in and saying, screw you, man, today we found out that the agent that negotiated the deal that represented Damon Williams, Doug Hendrickson, who I've known, you know, casually through Commanders, Redskins clients, Doug Hendrickson has decided to end his representation of Damon Williams due to philosophical differences.
You said doo-doo.
Doo-doo. due to philosophical differences, said DeMond is an incredible talent. We wish him and his family the best in their future endeavors. Now, what I also found out through the ESPN report is that Hendrickson, part of a group called Wasserman Sports, also represents Washington coach Jed Fish. So the same agent that was representing the quarterback to get him back to Washington for Jed Fish represents Jed Fish, the head coach of Washington. And I can pretty much guarantee you Jed Fish gave Doug Hendrickson a earful and then some and threatened to leave him and said, it's either me or him. And Doug Hendrickson looked around and said, I'd rather go with you, and dropped the quarterback. Now, does any of that make sense, AMAC?
I mean, makes sense. I don't know if that's the word I would use, but it's lining up in terms of this is where we are in college football. In the sense that, like, if you're in the NFL, and I'm going to compare it to the NFL because it is a professional league at this point. If you're in the NFL and you negotiate a contract, there's a certain amount of time before you can come to the table and ask for more money or renegotiate for a new contract. We're at a spot in college football where kids are coming and asking for more money during the season multiple times throughout the season. And if they don't get what they want, they're going and leaving for the transfer portal. Now, I'm all for college kids getting paid, and we've had this conversation before. We need to find some way, and it's a lot at stake. It's easy for me to sit here and say this because there's so many parties and so many people and laws and so much going on that has to happen for these things to move forward. But we need to find a way to get guardrails and make this thing sustainable so that kids like DeMond Williams aren't signing contracts, getting offers from other teams, and then saying, hey, this team gave me this much money, going back to their original team, which they signed the contract with, and asking for more money, not getting that money and saying they want to enter the transfer portal. That's just not how life works. That's not how, you know, reality is set up. And I think it's a disservice to the kids. And it's just causing such a messy and murky situation throughout college sports, especially college football.
Yes to all of that. It's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that wanted kids to get paid no matter what, how much, didn't care about the rules, didn't care about all the problems,
but see, that's what
just wanted kids to get paid.
That's where I disagree with you. I do not think that everybody – I think people saw this coming. There were plenty of coaches who –
Coaches.
Yes.
Not fans, not media members. A lot of media members just wanted kids to get paid. Didn't care about the rules, just, you know, didn't care about the problems, just wanted them to get paid. And that's what I'm – not coaches. Coaches saw it. Administration saw it. University saw it. Anybody with a lot of common sense saw it. I didn't know what exactly the problem – and I also didn't know that we were going to have an unlimited transfer portal.
Yeah.
You know, again, there needs to be reform. Mm-hmm. There needs to be hard reform. All four people getting paid, there needs to be rules and enforceable rules. And however you get to that, that's the harder part, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Right? It should have never been, well, just pay them. We'll figure out everything after that. No. That's not how it works. You don't just buy a car and then say, I'll figure out how to pay you later.
Well, that's where I come to the NCAA and say, like, this is your response. And now they're not even a part of any of this process.
But the NCAA never had any regulation over college football.
They did.
No, 100%.
Not really. They were suspending athletes for getting tattoos.
Yes.
So there was a point.
I shouldn't say never.
There was a point they did.
But don't you think that, like, the college presidents and the conferences, unlike, like, the NCAA has control over the NCAA men's basketball tournament And it now seems like it seems like a lot more regulation over college basketball than they ever had on college football.
Yeah.
Well, with the exception of what you're talking about.
Yeah. And that's my point. It's like if we looked at, okay, you putting out a video game and you're selling jerseys at your stadiums and you're making millions of dollars, but you're going to suspend a football player for getting free tattoos and swapping in a signed jersey, swapping it out for a signed jersey. If we looked at that when it happened and said, okay, we'll suspend this guy, but this is an issue we need to address.
Yeah.
Because we're making so much money. I'm talking billions of dollars off these players, and they're not seeing a cent off of it. If we got started, I'm talking this is 2005, 2006, when Reggie Bush and Terrell Pryor were getting in trouble for these things. If we started to look at the problems and issues then, we would have – there's a great possibility we would have – by the time NIL came about and the transfer portal, all these things came about, which was players suing the NCAA, not suing their universities, not suing states, suing the NCAA, and then the NCAA and all the parties responding by allowing these things to happen. If we figured it out in 2005 and 2006 when these things were going on, we wouldn't have these issues where players had to sue for their right to make money off their name, for them to sue to be able to transfer and play football the next year. That's the point that I'm making. Like, we can blame fans, but, like, fans don't have control over the rules in college football. They have a voice and they can sway people, but at the end of the day, it's the NCAA's responsibility. Not anymore, as you pointed out, but it once upon a time was the NCAA's responsibility to kind of get these rules in place in order to make this sustainable, so we're not at this place we are right now.
Well, they were too busy fighting it all together. To your point, they should have been working on a compromise. They should have been working on a business arrangement.
Yeah, but they're, you know, I don't want to, you know, I was working with Rick Neuheisel the other day, and he made the point there are no
name
wrong
dropper.
there are no villains in this story, and I somewhat agree with that. Like, everybody's looking out for the best interest. NCAA probably had a business model that made money, and then if you address this business model, then there's probably ramifications where somebody's making less money, people are going to have to lose jobs. All these things are probably going to have to happen if you decide to play players, and that's probably where the point that you're making, the disagreement came about. It's like, all right, if we're going to pay these athletes, where's this money going to come from? So again, there's probably no villains in this story, but I think that there was a conversation to be had and there was a lack of proactiveness from the NCAA that allowed us to get to this point where they're not even in college football anymore. It's the college football playoff and conference commissioners all trying to come to agreements on things.
I kind of sense that that's been that way for even longer than we want to admit. But one thing I will just agree with you on is, instead of fighting it hook, line, and sinker, they should have been working to be proactive. But we are a reactive society, not a proactive society. We are a reactive society. And that's part of the problem, too. There's many other problems. All right, coming up, Dumb Dumb of the Day. We'll wrap up the show, make way for the DOC next on the Team 980. All righty. Some of you may know the name Dax Shepard. Apparently an actor. Had never heard of him. Never heard of him. I think I know his wife. If it's the Kristen Bell that I'm thinking of, looks like her. But I'm not 100% sure. But Dax Shepard, an actor who I'd never heard of, admitted on a podcast this week that in a conversation with his 11-year-old daughter, 11, her name is Delta, who was saying she can't wait to have a baby, so he didn't want to quote-unquote be judgmental of her wishes, so he offered to freeze her eggs when she's 18. She wants to have a baby. I said, when do you think you'll have a child? When you turn 18, I want to be supportive. I don't want to plant any seeds that I'd be judgmental or whatever. The story goes on and on, right? All these things about maybe she'll have a baby between the ages of 35 and 45. Apparently, she was on a show named Parenthood. Again, never heard of it. Oh, no, no. He was on Parenthood, right? And the couple, the married couple, again, the actor that I've never heard of, Shepard, and Kristen Bell, who I think I know, they wound up, you know, basically trying to say, look, if you want to freeze your eggs, I'll pay for you to get your eggs frozen so you don't have to think about that. Whatever. Okay. So then the story goes on, and lovely pictures of them being apparently a tight family, you know, hugs, kisses, all that stuff. Apparently, they have another daughter named Lincoln, who's 12 years old, and they apparently let their children curse in the household, curse at them, curse to other siblings. Apparently, they have two younger ones as well. And they said, well, they know that they can curse in our home, but that they can't curse at a restaurant. And he said recently to Seth Meyers, I fully swear in front of my kids, but only in the house and not at the restaurant. And I would just say this, listen, you do you. Parenting is not for everyone, but this might be one of the weirdest, nothing illegal, weirdest stories that I've ever covered on Dumb Dumb of the Day. How about like just raising your kids to be just smart, loving, respectful kids instead of cursing everybody out and instead of freezing their eggs when they're 11, when they turn 18? Can we do that, please? Can we do that, please? Let's talk about, oh, I don't know, riding a bike. Let's talk about playing soccer. Let's talk about where we're going to go see, what movie we're going to go see, where we're going to go to dinner. Let's not talk about freezing fertility eggs and cursing each other out at the age of 11 and 12 with mommy and daddy. How about that? How about them apples? Coming up, the DOC. He'll take you home on a Thursday afternoon. Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock with AMAC. Don't forget, college football semifinal tonight. Miami Ole Miss. Looking forward to that. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about it all with you on the Team 980.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.